views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, Your Call to Action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. It's Cornelia Stephanie, and I'm with my very special co-host, Dennis Gaither. Welcome, Dennis.
Hi there, Cornelia. Thank you for that special welcome.
Special, yeah. It's we always have a special time, you and I, when we're when we're doing these shows. And I'm so excited about this topic. It's almost like you're reading my mind. And it's like, okay, that's why I said you're such a great content bringer, you know, because you are so tapped in to what is it that we need to learn next. And what we're going to talk about today is exactly, this is one of my biggest pet peeves. So I'm so grateful to you for bringing this topic. And I look forward to introducing this together with you to our audience. But first, before we get started, Dennis, I want to let the audience know we're rolling out a new thing. And there's people that absolutely love and adore you. They love, they follow you regularly when you come on, and I want to be able to invite these people to join us live in the studio audience together while we're doing the broadcast. And so if you're listening to this and you want to join us live where you can ask Dennis questions and interact with us while we're doing the show, that would be great. There's so many new ways that we're finding to connect with our studio audience. And this is one way, because we want you to feel included, not just that we're giving information, but also that you can ask questions. And so feel free to go to CorneliaStephanieVIP.com and take a look there. Everything is listed there, and it tells you who the co-hosts are, when they come on, and you can get your live studio access pass. You can also email me at radio@CorneliaStephanie or instant messenger on Facebook. But we definitely want to play with you, and we want to participate with you so that we can answer any questions that you may have. So feel free to join us in the studio audience. All right, Dennis.
Cool.
I did my spiel.
You did it. Good job.
So talk to us about the wheel of projection is what today's show is all about.
Today's show is about the wheel of projection, which is, it's a dynamic that it influences so much of our experience of who we are in the world and who each other is. And so I'm happy to be able to go into this a little bit.
Everybody.
We're just scratching the surface in the amount of time we have. But I want to start with a little story. And this is about one of my own projection lessons here. And the focus of my conversation is really about recognizing and working with our own projections too. It's easy to see them in other people, not so easy to see them in ourselves. But this was this happened a few years ago, and I was preparing to teach a workshop. It was a forgiveness workshop, ironically. And I had a sudden thought, it just popped into my mind, of an experience that I'd had not long before that, of someone, I had something I wanted to say and they didn't get it. They didn't seem to be listening. And I found myself getting really angry that there was nobody else in my home but me. So, but I found myself getting kind of angry out of proportion to that trigger. And it also had a kind of a lingering kind of quality. This was something that hadn't happened sometime before. And so I found myself kind of even yelling, "You're not listening, you're not listening, you don't listen, you don't listen." And next thing you know, I'm finding myself standing in front of a mirror, pointing at myself in the mirror, saying, "You don't listen." That got my attention. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, something. So then it's kind of, then I have to work backwards from the trigger, from the upset. Mm-hmm. Saying, okay, this upset, they may not, for 1,000 different reasons, it's possible that person may have been inattentive or didn't get it or whatever. That's not to deny that that didn't happen, but the upset is about me. And that's really a key, is a willingness to be with that. And then that comes, with that comes, if there is a sense of willingness. And so there's a willingness, okay, and willingness to create some space around this, to see this in a different way. And I was, and in the process of doing that, I could see a lot of things. There were things like from times in my past where I didn't feel listened to. And so I would get kind of judgments about myself. Maybe I'm just not worth listening to.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
That's sort of getting triggered there.
Yeah.
But it kind of showed me kind of things in myself that needed some healing.
Yeah.
I was actually willing to turn towards it. And then I could notice little ways of, well, maybe if there ever been times when I actually just kind of this somebody I didn't think they were worth listening to. Have I ever done that?
Oh,
who hasn't? But then as I went even deeper process, are there ways in which I'm not listening to myself? Am I not listening to little wounded parts of myself that need some attending to, or even some higher perspective? So there's an inward listening. So that the you're not listening is actually something I was also doing to myself.
Yeah. And basically what I hear you saying, Dennis, is that the projection, at first you were projecting those feelings, that energy, that voice onto the other person, that they're
That's
not
right.
listening to you. And then when you were standing in the mirror and you saw, oh, it's me, when you did that inner investigative work, and then you took yourself, you gave yourself that session, and you took yourself through that work. Is that right?
That is. Now, if it had just stayed in the projected state, which certainly at times in my life it has, and in most of our lives it has, it would have just continued to be a barrier between myself and that person. It would have kept a sense of separation going. It would have, and I would have not actually gotten to something in myself that needed some healing. And so that's sort of the dark side and the healing side of projection, both of those.
Yeah.
So I want to go into, we need to look at both of those, but I want to talk a little bit about it. And because it's, in some ways, projection's gotten kind of a bad rap in a certain way, not to deny that it doesn't have a dark side. Certainly as it was first described by, you know, Sigmund Freud and others over 100 years ago, it sounded like this is something only very neurotic people might do.
Yeah. And, you know, I know you're going to go into, you know, talking about it and the teaching around it and giving us more insight into it. But before we go to break, I also want to share of what happened when someone projected onto me and me being the recipient of that projection.
All right. So I'd like to, if I could continue with what I was kind of, do you want to share that?
No. Okay. Oh, you know, okay. We still have time. Yeah.
Okay. And so let me just kind of get back on track here a little bit. And I think that unnecessarily pathologizes it. Because it is something we all do, that we actually, in a certain way, all project our whole world based on things inside of ourselves that we see outside. And that becomes a filter that we, through which we see our world. But it also has a way of keeping that sense of separation going. But it also means if I'm staying in projected state, I don't get to do some healing myself. And that's the value of projection. If I see it outside, if I'm willing to, I can really recognize that what I'm seeing outside myself is something inside myself that I can turn towards and do some healing around. That's the opportunity. So basically what it is it's a kind of a way we protect ourselves. We protect our sense of who we are by trying to kind of shift what we've judged against outside, but it actually keeps us from turning inward to doing some healing with what's there. So let's talk a little bit about here. You wanted to say something there, Cornelia. I want to give you a chance to say something about that, or I can continue with what I wanted to talk a little bit about here.
No, you can continue, and we're going to skip the break, and I'll share my part during the break. So please continue.
Okay, cool. That will be fine. That will be fine. We're just getting ourselves coordinated here a little bit here. So I want to just talk a little bit about one of the things about projection, and why I call it the wheel of projection, is because that part of us that kind of thinks that we're a separate entity, separate from others, I'm going to call it ego. Part of what it does is it projects the sense of whatever we've judged against in ourselves out as a way to try to get rid of it. But it doesn't work. It actually goes around and actually comes back to bite us. And so I have a diagram there. It's called the wheel of projection. And I can describe it because I know some people are listening by audio. I can just kind of run through it. But if on the video person, if Kat could stick that in somewhere, that would be great.
Yeah, Kat, do you have the image, right? Would you pull it up so that people can look at it? I love that image, by the way.
Yeah.
You got it showing now.
Okay, I don't.
No, you won't see it, Dennis.
I won't see it. Okay, it's up there, though.
Yep, so, it's up there.
Okay, cool. All righty. So if you on that diagram that I'm showing, there's a place where this whole thing starts. It's a sense of what I represent on the diagram is guilt. It's guilt in the mind, and it's not. It's a shorthand way of saying the belief in guilt. It's not our real state. We're not really guilty. We've not really lost our innocence. But in some way, we all think we have, in some way or another. All the little self-evaluations, judgments, some way we feel lacking, some way there's always something there. At its deepest, deepest level, it has to do with our sense of that we feel like we've separated from our source, from the all that is, to have this individual experience. That's not the way it tends to play out in our normal day-to-day. It tends to play out in our relationships. But we keep it pretty buried because it's a painful feeling, and we try to push it out of our awareness. But it really doesn't work. It tends to leak through, and so we project it. We see it in someone else. And what gets projected is the sense of badness, the sense of guilt, not the behavior. It's not a you spot it, you got it. It's more like I might project something that I feel bad about in myself onto some behavior that doesn't resemble anything I do. So, but then we start to gather evidence. And it's not something we're doing consciously or intentionally usually. It's like we start to interpret little things about either the person, the situations, or about ourselves, because we can project this onto our own personality, our own self-concept as well. We gather evidence, we build our case, we're like little prosecuting attorneys sometimes, and we'll have some kind of a reaction, and it might be just an inner reaction. Maybe I'll feel some resentment, maybe I'll feel triggered, maybe I'll feel scared, but there's kind of like a little upset inside. And the tendency there is to really see it as outside. It's because of them. It's really at the place of noticing the little upset that we can kind of notice, okay, here's a place where I can do a pivot. Where I can actually turn and kind of say, okay, this upset is about me. It's not to say that the person didn't do whatever they did, but that sense of lingering upset is about me. Then we've lost our peace and there's an externalization. We blame. It's their fault. And once we can blame anything in the outside world for our lack of peace, we're a victim. I'm a victim. Something's acted on me from outside. I'm not in charge anymore. And that justifies some sort of attack, some sort of retaliation. And it may be very overt, like I'll yell at them or do something physical, but more often it's very much more subtle than that. It may be just a quiet little rejection, just little hurtful thoughts. Maybe in this day and age, maybe I'll just unfriend them on Facebook. But there are many forms, and it's from the standpoint of the wheel of projection, it actually doesn't matter in what the form is. In the world, it matters a lot. But here, in terms of healing our own mind, it matters, doesn't really matter. Because on some level, we know that we have attacked the truth of someone. On some level, we know that we know better. And then that just increases the sense of unconscious guilt in the mind. And it's the unconscious sense of guilt in the mind that really influences our behavior. And that's what we can actually use projection as a way to help us heal. The wheel of projection. So projection tends to be very self-sustaining because we'll always find evidence to support it. We can always find it. We'll focus in on those things that will support it. But if we're willing to let go of that, to have some willingness around it, it can actually serve our healing as well. By showing us something, there was some unconscious sense of guilt in me. Maybe I didn't know it was there, but now I'm seeing it projected out. And if I'm willing to, I can use that. I can use that to bring some healing inside. And happy to talk a little bit more about that too, because that's the main thing. That's the dark side of the wheel of projection. But I would say that we do that individually and we also do it collectively. There's no human being that is not on the wheel of projection. And we also do it collectively. We get one of the things that we do, I've certainly caught myself doing, is we'll get others to agree with us. We'll present our case to other people and they'll agree with us. You know, it could be our friends, our support group, our coworkers, our whole country. Every war, every pogrom, every ism has to do with the wheel of projection. So on my personal journey, having been a peacenik for a long, long time, I find more and more in my life, I'm interested, okay, what's the thought system? What is it that's behind all this? And so this is actually something I feel quite passionate about sharing and ways of healing that. I want to pause for a moment, see if you want to stop my monologue here, Cornelia, give you an opportunity if you wanted to ask something or whatever.
Yeah, it's beautiful the way that you're presenting it. And I totally 100% agree with it. And actually is exactly what you're talking about. That, you know, when you're talking about that, the moment that we project it out and blame is the moment that we give our power away and that we are the victim. Mm-hmm. And really, truly, that has been actually my process of my own journey of healing, my own journey of empowerment, of, you know, living and being a sovereign being. And any time where my victim was present is through this process, is being able to release that and again, come back to that internal peace that you were talking about, because
right.
I'm totally with you. Beautiful. So my process, and I love this.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to share this with you and with others. And
yes,
thank you for providing a way of doing that, or an opportunity to do that. So the wheel of projection, how do we get off of it? That would be the thing I would, or how do we know that we're on it? That's first thing is for me is like, oh, to recognize I'm on it. And sometimes I've kind of gone down the road a ways before I recognize that I'm on it. But some of the clues, and none of these are absolutely definitive, I would say, but there are a lot of clues. One of the things that I notice is just energetically, I feel a sense of constriction inside. It's like, mm-hmm. there's kind of like a focus. Mm-hmm. I find myself just kind of gathering evidence to support my point of view. Mm. Maybe I feel like I need to talk about this to somebody and not necessarily even thinking about it. I just kind of catch myself in the middle of talking to somebody else or imagining myself talking to somebody else, bolstering my case. Those are all clues. Some of the other ones, sometimes there are little things that happen during our day, and most of them are just kind of little fairly, maybe just small misunderstandings and clarifying things, and that kind of resolves it. But sometimes if my reaction seems out of proportion, or if it's sort of like a niggly thing that hangs in there, a nagging thing that sort of hangs in there, just doesn't seem to let go, kind of eats at me, that's a real suggestion that there's something in me that's being kind of entered into this situation. And again, it's not denying that somebody didn't do something, they didn't make some mistake, but what's irking me about it is that there's kind of an unhealed part of me that's being projected here. And if I'm willing to shift, I can heal. I can do some healing with it. some of the other things. If I catch myself or if I notice myself really needing to justify my point of view, or even a lack of, one of the hallmarks of projection is an amazing lack of curiosity. Nope, I got it. I know what this is. I'm right.
Ooh. Fixed.
That's something to really pay attention to and ask about. It's not just, it's just more about just asking about the sense of curiosity. Mm-hmm. And I love that, which I've actually quoted in several of our conversations here, but I use it because I found it so valuable from Pema Chodron. Our anger is a result of seeing incompletely. There's a bigger seeing here. You know, I and everyone else have said and done unkind, unloving things during times when we forgot of the true essence of who we are, the divine being that we really are. We've all done that. And what I've appreciated is just knowing that that doesn't actually change who we are, doesn't actually change who I am, but it really affects who I think I am in that moment. It really affects who we think we are. So a big part of it is just noticing I'm on it, noticing we're on it. Because until that happens, and sometimes the willingness to even notice that, I can remember at earlier times in my life where I might have gone for months or years not noting about it. It's one of the blessings of doing a lot of internal work is I find that I can't get away with that stuff too much as long anymore. But something starts to feel icky inside and it says, okay. And so it's not that it doesn't happen at this point in my life, but I do find that I don't hold on to it as long. There's some of that when we talked about the when you go around the wheel of projection, it just adds to the guilt. In a relatively unconscious state, we kind of dissociate that part, so we're not aware of how our attack on somebody else, our belief that this other person's responsible, in this case, that this other person's responsible for my unhappiness, it's dissociated from, gee, I'm feeling more depressed, I'm feeling more anxious, I'm having physical symptoms, which is how the guilt gets expressed when we project it on ourselves. So that's one of the things as I kind of notice that process a little quicker. That's helpful.
Yes.
So, my goodness, getting off this wheel, though, once we notice that, what I find is that there are actually a number of different processes that people have used and I've introduced, and I'll mention a couple of them, but there's an essential ingredient that has to be there, and it's just a simple willingness. It's just a sense of willingness and a sense of curiosity. It's like, I'm willing to take a breath, I'm willing to step back, I'm willing to admit the possibility that there's another way of seeing this, and it will initially be a way of seeing the situation that seems to be outside, but it will result in a different way of seeing myself in it. And what I find is if that's not there, I don't care what process you try to use, it's not going to work. I've tried them. If it would work, it would have worked for me. But if that is there, there are actually a lot of different ways of working with it. There are a lot of them. One of my own that I find really useful is just to simply be with the willingness. Just to let there's a felt sense of spaciousness, of willingness, and just kind of let whatever seems to be out there or in there just come into that space. That was one of my earliest kind of big aha moments as I was working my way through A Course in Miracles early on, was that there was, if I was willing to let my way of seeing this go or experiencing this situation or myself go, that there was another voice in there that would show me something different, that would show me another way. So even something as unstructured as that can be helpful if the willingness is there. So, and I think it's useful to remind ourselves that really all this is some unfinished business inside of ourselves. Not to pathologize it, not to judge ourselves because we've made a projection, but to say, okay, this is about something unfinished inside of me. And it kind of brings up a place that can be compassionate towards whatever got activated inside myself. And it's like, that's also key, is that sort of bringing that sense of self-presence that can be compassionate towards our experience and that of someone else. So there's a certain gentleness. There's a certain gentleness that's necessary. And I want to read the quote that I included here at the very beginning of this idea of kind of as a theme here, introduction theme. And it comes from A Course in Miracles. And it's one of my favorites, one of from one of the later workbook lessons. I'll just read it to you. In quiet would I look upon the world, which but reflects your thoughts, capital Y, capital T, your thoughts, and mine as well. Let me remember that they are the same, and I will see creation's gentleness. So the ego part of me that holds on to the sense of guilt as a way of being in separate, it does not see creation's gentleness. It sees creation's cruelty in its overt or covert forms. But there's another presence that can see a different way. So, all right, I'll pause for a moment here. Catch my breath. And
yeah, absolutely. No, it's beautiful the way that you're presenting it and bringing the awareness again that, you know, with a little bit of curiosity and willingness, we can heal the divide, the disconnect that keeps us separate through the projection, and that it's okay that we do this or have done this, but that take responsibility and bring it back to yourself.
Yes, it's useful to forgive ourselves for judging ourselves for making the projection. If I want to beat myself up about it, well, that's just the ego keeping this whole thing going.
Yeah.
So forgiveness is an important part of it. But so sometimes having, though, some sort of a structured process can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Can be. And there are a couple of them that I want to acknowledge here and that I find useful. I'm going to hold up this book. This is from a friend of mine, Diederik Wolsack, Choose Again. And he has a six-step process that he developed over years of working in an alternative healing center that he created in Costa Rica. And its six steps involve actually taking ownership of the upset, following the feeling back to sometime in our early life, some sort of painful experience where we created a judgment about ourselves, and then actually healing that judgment. It takes the form of forgiveness for believing this about myself, and then a remembering the truth. Forgive me for forgetting. Remembering the truth of who we are. It's a lovely process that has helped a lot of people. Slightly different take. I want to share. I'm going to talk a little bit more specific about some of these things here. But there's another one. This one's a relatively recent discovery by this person, Anna Huckabee Tull, living the deeper yes. It's a book I would recommend. And she talks about coming out of healing projection in a slightly different way. And I find both those really useful. So let's talk about them a little bit more here.
Sure, but let's take a break, Dennis.
Let's do that. Good.
Let's take a break, and we'll be right back on the Cornelia Stephanie Show with Dennis Gaither. We'll be right back.
Cool. Thank you.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Right now, ask yourself, how far are you from your dream? Are you closer today than yesterday? Entrepreneur and personal coach Deborah Rothschild brings the wit and wisdom to transform you into a new dynamic you. Tune in to the Deborah Rothschild Show, Developing a Dynamic You. To learn more about Deborah, visit thedeborahshow.com. That's the D-E-B-R-A show.com.
Tune in live every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death from debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss, every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit AngieCorbettKuyper.com.
Part of life is the aromas and delights of our sensuality. Hummingbird Jewel shares her secret formula and her signature fragrance oil, Julia. This fragrance oil can be used in a variety of ways, such as scenting your laundry, car, or closet. The oils come in roll-ons for convenience. If you prefer a perfume bottle, we can package them together, elegantly wrapped for gift-giving. If you're interested, contact me at hummingbird-jewel.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm with Dennis Gaither, and we're talking about the Wheel of Projection. And of course, Dennis always brings us these amazing exercises. We were talking about it during the break. So you're going to get us started on that first, right?
We're going to do that. Yes. So thank you for that, Cornelia. So I'm going to do a little demo here. And I'll just tell you, this is, normally I would do this in a group of people, and it would be a group project, and maybe a few listeners have actually done forgiveness workshops with me, so you have seen this before. But I'm going to modify it so I can do it solo here. So, and the idea here is to really, I'm kind of a visual guy here, and it's to actually really kind of have a really experiential impact of how projection affects us. So here is kind of thing, and I'll describe this for the audio audience, but you may want to watch the video. So I am putting on a hat. It's kind of a loose floppy hat. It's a little tight on my head, but it's kind of a loose floppy hat, and it's got a bunch of Velcro sewn on the front of the hat. And I've got a bunch of strips of cloth here that have a little piece of Velcro on each end. So here's what we're going to do here. So what happens when I project something that's dark in me that I've turned away from onto someone else? I've done a couple things. One is I've obscured part of them from my vision. And at the same time, I'm obscuring that something from myself too. So each of those little things kind of like it's a little veil hanging over. So I'm going to kind of do this here. Let's see if we do this here. This is kind of fun. This is really very different. Okay, there's one. Doo-doo.
Cool.
And so yes, all the guys are wearing these nowadays.
Great.
Okay, and here's another one. I'm pretending I'm doing this on somebody else here, but I'm gonna. So here's.
So these are projections that you're putting out.
So these would be yes. So the projections I'm putting out are the projections we're putting out on anybody else because we're veiling them and ourselves both. And I think four of them is enough to kind of give us the idea here. Boom.
Wow, you can't see. I don't.
No, you can't see me anymore. Boom.
Wow.
I'm gone.
Wow.
So now, at this point, so I've now put all these strips of cloth attached to the hat. They're now covering my face. And so if a person looking at me, let's pretend it's you looking at me, you cannot see me. You only see all the projections you've projected onto me. Or I can only see all the projections I projected onto you. I can't see who you really are. I can't see not only the deeper parts of your personality, but I can't see the divine essence of who you are either. As long as I'm projecting anything other than that onto you, I can't see you. You can't see me. So as long as those are there, but now let's pretend this is something, let's pretend I read a spiritual book somewhere and it says we're really supposed to just look past all that and we're supposed to just see that divine presence, the namaste presence, the Christ essence, the Buddha nature, that it's there. We can, that's our spiritual practice, is just to look past all that. So maybe consider for a moment whether you can really do that as long as all these projections are sitting there. I will submit that you actually can't. It might be possible to project some idea about what that is over the top of all that. But, you know, that deeper, lovely essence of who we are, we don't have to conjure that up. That's actually what's just naturally there when we remove all the veils. It's just naturally there. We don't have to make an effort to make that be there. So if we're trying to force them, I'm going to see the Christ presence in that person, even though I really don't like them, we're kind of giving ourselves an impossible task. How do we do it? Well, we have to let these guys go, these projections that we've made. And it's not global. It's each one specifically, individually. Each little judgment, I have some willingness around that. There's a presence within me. It's called by various traditions, you know, the higher self, the voice for love, Holy Spirit, whatever symbol you use, it doesn't matter. There is a presence that can show us another way, but we have to let go of our way of seeing. And so we have to do that really very specifically. Specifically this one. Let's see, what could this one be? This one could be, person that didn't listen to me, let's see, one of the things was, oh, they just don't care anything about me, they're selfish. Okay. Which would be something about me not caring about myself or not caring for other people if I were really, and it comes down to something in me that really needs caring for that I haven't cared for myself. So we take another one, very specific. Boom. This one, each one, very specific, one at a time. That's why it's a process. That's why it's a process. But with each one of these that I let go of another person, in front of another person or a situation, I'm letting go of something in myself as well. So the process may start with what appears to be in someone else, but it's not going to end there. I have to come back and take this home as well. It's only by actually really, it's actually not trying to see past the veils, but actually looking at the veils and owning them and being willing to let them go, each one. I can't just do it as it's a global, okay, I'm going to let it all go. No, I projected that onto this person or onto myself or the situation. And that's the work. But there's a gift in that because there's always something that can be healed there. There's always something. Everything that seems to happen is actually something for us if we choose to look at it that way.
I love that. So, I love this demonstration. I mean, later on when people look at this video, I'm going to use it as the thumbnail with you sitting there with the things. Yeah. I mean, it's just perfect. What a brilliant presentation of the way that you put it together. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. You can really see the shadow projected outward and how that keeps the separation going.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a group setting, the way we do this is everybody from the group puts one of theirs on some volunteer and get to come back and take it back specifically. It's a process around that that's very powerful. But one of the things is when everybody's sitting there looking at these veils on the first, there's a sense of a certain kind of discomfort. mm-hmm. that we all have. And that's kind of that wheel of projection, the sort of when we project, there is a sort of a discomfort, that guilt that we're reinforcing, the belief in guilt, the identification with it, not the reality of it. And there's some relief as we can let it go. Because, you know, there's like a window that's opened. I see them differently, but now I see myself differently. There's some little thing in me. Let's talk about a few of those kind of ways of doing it if we need a little more structure than just being willing. And sometimes they are. I find that sometimes if I am kind of triggered, I might need maybe even the assistance of another person to kind of hold the vision of my innocence.
Oh, that's good, Dennis.
So if I'm kind of in my place of projection there's a sense of guilt there. Mm-hmm. This is something we can do with each other. Mm-hmm. is hold the other person's innocence for them until they can see it in themselves.
Oh.
So if I'm sharing about something I'm feeling guilty about and you're willing just to see my innocence, that's really huge.
Huge.
That's really a huge thing. So it's not just an inside ourselves process. This is something we can really help each other with. This is something we can really help heal each other with. But let's just talk a little bit about some of the ways of doing it. And I think that they're not mutually exclusive. They focus on different aspects. I've mentioned the six-step process of actually just going directly to the feeling. Somebody didn't listen to me. What is it I feel inside? I feel angry. Maybe I feel hurt. Maybe I feel scared. Was there a time in my life when I was much younger and felt all alone that nobody was paying attention to me or tried to say something and couldn't? Whatever. And then what did I judge about myself? So that's a powerful process. And then practicing some forgiveness. Lovely process. Some of the other ways of doing this can focus a little bit more on what's the projection. If we see it first, I kind of like the idea of if I see it first on the outside to work with it there, but I don't end it there. And there it can be easy to get confused and do intellectual shortcuts. It's easy to say, well, I'm upset about, it's just my projection. I'm sorry that may... It may work in the moment, but it doesn't really heal anything.
I think that's called a spiritual bypass.
That's called a spiritual bypass. We have to go a little bit closer. Another way that people get kind of messed up with that is the you spot it, you got it idea. And it's a misunderstanding, actually. Just because I see it I see a certain thing in somebody else does not mean that the identical thing is in me. Because it's not behavior that gets projected. So I get upset with somebody for cutting me off in traffic. It doesn't mean that I cut people off in traffic. I have to look a little closer. What do I think they are because they did that? Well, they're inconsiderate. They don't pay any attention.
Or I always get cut off. Or I always cut people off, whatever the story is.
Or whatever, you know, it's sort of like, but it's kind of, what is the identity? What is the guilt that we see in them? Because that's what we're trying to get rid of. So we don't get too tripped up on the form of the behavior that got us upset. It's what is the guilt that we see? So that's a part of it. What's the identity there? What's the guilt? But sometimes it is useful to look a little bit more closely at the form. Instead of superficially. So like the person who didn't listen to me or I didn't think listened to me. Okay, what is it I really think they did to me? Okay, looking a little bit more closely like, well, okay, they disregarded me. They were so self-important they couldn't pay attention to me. They thought they were better than me. You can create a whole list. Or they just didn't think I was important and worth listening to. You kind of go through. This is really from Mary Huckabee Toll's book here. Anna Huckabee Toll's book, actually, a little bit. I've actually found this one useful here. But one of them will kind of ring a bell. That one. Mm-hmm. Didn't think I was worth listening to. Okay. That one kind of rings a bell. So now there's a place where we can kind of turn towards that. There's a little tender place there about not being important enough to listen to. And we can kind of ask ourselves then, is this something I might unconsciously do to other people, not feeling like they're important enough to listen to? Or is it something I might do to myself? Or a little both. In the case of the example I gave, there was actually a little both, and there usually is some of both. And the deepest one is it actually is something we're doing to ourselves. I'm not paying attention to myself. I'm not listening to myself. I'm not giving credence to some important messages within. So we get a little bit of a clarity here of what's the wound? What's the woundedness inside? And if it stays in projected form, we're going to keep the wound. We'll keep the separation. So ultimately, it comes down very similar to the other process of the six-step process of forgiving ourselves for our judgments. So I forgive myself for judging myself as not worth listening to. I forgive myself for judging this other person as thinking I'm not worth listening to. But it's actually, we're forgiving judgments, not behavior. Because there may be a million reasons why somebody, in this example, there's a million reasons why somebody might not have listened to me. And maybe they were listening, I just didn't think they were. There's a million reasons why. But it's, and in a certain way, it doesn't matter what their actual reason was. But what I projected onto them is what their reason was. And so going after somebody and getting their explanation of it is less fruitful, actually, than what's the story made up about that experience? Because that will point to something, something in me that I can actually then do some healing about. But it's that ego mind part of us, me. I mean, I say it's us, but man, I sure know it in me too. There's a tendency to want to judge the ego with the ego, or look at the ego from the point of view of ego, which is meaning we judge ourselves. And a way I think about this is that, you know, this whole kind of doing this whole process is kind of threatening to that part of us that I call ego. And it's just simply the part of, I'll just say, it's the part of Dennis that says Dennis wants to be an individual, separate entity. And that part of Dennis, all of us that wants to be this individual, is kind of threatened by this idea that we might not be that. And so it does get kind of protective, and it creates ways of protecting itself. And really doing this kind of acknowledge, and if the projection is kind of a way it keeps the separation going, doing work that really undoes it is going to be threatening. And what the ego does when it's threatened is it creates a defense. It creates like a little detour, I call them Aikido moves or straw man. It will shift the meaning a little bit into something that is more, it can make use of. There was something, so I was going with that, but I've lost it. Anyway, I'll come back later.
So you were talking about how, you know, the ego protects itself, you know, during the process. And one of the thoughts I had was that, when we're going through that process, we always can remember that in the innocence that you talked about, in our innocence, we don't need protection, right? In our innocence, we don't.
Our true innocence, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The true innocence is not so much the innocence of the personality or of the body. Because, you know, we have an experience here in the world, and those things, you know, our body needs a certain protection. I have a roof over my head and when it's cold. But by recognizing our true innocence, it's not that I don't have this ego going on here. As long as I'm in a body, probably I will. Maybe I'll get to be one of those guys that lets it go completely. We'll see. But it's more that as we grow on the path, we get less and less identified with it. It gets something we're able to recognize and kind of unblend from a little bit. It's not me. It's a voice that's in me. Okay, yeah, it's there. But it becomes something that we're able to hold a little bit less lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And I personal opinion about it is that I think the further we go along our path, the more things come up that yes, we have our own personal hooks, including our own personal reactions when somebody projects something on us. You know, I mean, somebody says, you know, you shoot people with ray guns, and I just kind of laugh at that. But if they say something that's a little bit closer to home, like, you know, you really didn't pay much attention to me, and I really felt you should have, it's like, oh, boy. A little closer to home, because there's sometimes I don't.
Yeah. So I totally, you know, see how, you know, listening and being curious, how that can really, really, you know, begin that self-investigation process. And I think it's beautiful the way that you laid this all out for us today. But I do want to remind the audience that if they want to join us here live in the studio audience, the next time that you come on, which is going to be, everybody put it on your calendar, because it's going to be the second Friday of the month, which is going to be December the 13th. And that's when Dennis is going to be back. And we welcome you to be part of our live studio audience and engage with us. And then you'll be able to have your questions answered, you know, during this time. The way you can get your access pass is go to CorneliaStephanieVIP.com and go there and grab your ticket. And that way you can be part of our studio audience. We welcome this connection together with you. And so...
Yeah, I would welcome that as well. That would be a lot of fun just to hear from some of the people there that are listening and see what their questions are. Because, you know, that we could have a thousand questions about this topic alone.
Yeah,
I think we wouldn't have time to address them all, but that's all right.
Yeah, and I think it would be wonderful, you know, and people will be able to type it into the chat, or they can let Kat know, and you know, so there's definitely a way to interact with us, and we want to have that connection with you. So, Dennis, we've got just a few minutes left. I think about 3 or 4 minutes left. So we need to offer the closing dialogue around all of what you presented today.
Wow. All right. Closing dialogue. So I will just say that I'm very grateful, actually, for several things. One is that just having a deeper understanding of how projection works, both in the world, has changed how I see my sense of purpose in the world, but it's had such a profound impact on my own personal healing from times of deep despair and depression in the past. It's not that I don't have down moments or something, but I can kind of recognize where this is coming from. And a possibility of sharing it and of watching how, as a light bulb goes on, that there's a blossoming, because there's every time we remove a veil, there's a blossoming that happens, and something in me gets to blossom then. So it's a very there's a depth to the topic. I would consider myself still a student of it. I get more lessons every day. So this is shared as best I could, what I could convey in this limited time of my present level of awareness and understanding. And hey, we could have this conversation a year from now, and it might be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's also a positive side of projection.
Like, absolutely.
Right? And that would be a whole nother show that we could talk about, Dennis. That would be fun.
Maybe
down in the future, we could bring on just what happens when we positively, when we do that, just the same way we do the negative, the healing, but then what happens when we use our creation abilities and project positivity onto others and to each other.
Yeah, you know, that's the other one. When we have the veils out of the way, to truly direct the positivity, we have to remove the veils from there. But that loving, shining essence is what's naturally there.
Yeah, and it would be fun to use.
And as we share it, we recognize we have it inside ourselves to share. So it reinforces, just as projecting guilt reinforces guilt, sharing, extending the love, the divine essence that we really are, actually reinforces that.
Well, you said it so perfectly, is... hold the space for the innocence, you know, holding the space for the innocence. That's the truth. That's who we are. And being able to hold that space, project that onto each other, seeing the divine in all, because we're all one.
Yeah.
And that's that's the beautiful thing. So beautiful everyone, thing. Yes. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening and for tuning in. Dennis and I welcome it so much. Come join us in our live studio audience, Cornelia Stephanie VIP. And Dennis, again, thank you for such amazing, juicy, spiritual nourishment that we all need to get deeper intimate with ourselves and to accelerate our healing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cornelia. Yeah.
You've been listening to The Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.